It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. It's hard to believe it's already May 4th and 5th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on May 4th, we run at 9:05, and if you're listening to this on May 5th, we run at 7:05. Want to thank my guest for last weekend's show, Jody Bloomberg, who directs the Concord Hospital Patient Center for Cancer Care, and Bev Cotton, one of the survivors from the program. And Bev was very inspiring. And we will see her at the Rockin' Race. If you haven't registered for the Rockin' Race, that's upcoming, please do so. Want to give a big shout out to my running friends who are continuing to participate in the Capital Area Race Series. Well, you know, one of my major compelling initiatives is to stay in touch with the Mental Health Awareness Program, and I spend a lot of time with Justice Broderick on that. And so with me this weekend is John Broderick and Mike Milligan. And maybe, gentlemen, I think probably neither one needed an introduction, but why don't you reintroduce yourself, and then we'll get right into our program.
Happy to, Tom. First of all, thanks for having us on.
Of course.
I'm John Broderick. I now work as Senior Director of External Affairs at Dartmouth Hitchcock, but for years I served on our state Supreme Court. And what I'm doing now, though, Tom, on mental health awareness is the most important work I've done in my entire professional life, and I don't say that lightly.
And I'm always impressed. John and I speak to many of the same groups or on the road together. And I always say that here's a man that was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court now saying getting the word out, mental health awareness is the most important thing he's done. And I know you've put on probably 100,000 miles, right, visiting schools and businesses. Tell us a little bit about that journey, and then I'll introduce Mike.
Sure. For the last 35 months now, Tom, I've been driving in New Hampshire, obviously, a lot, and recently in Vermont and Maine and even northern New Hampshire. I replaced the engine in my car, by the way. The body was great. The engine was dead from all the driving. But I've been to over 190 schools now, Tom, and I've spoken almost 400 times. And it's not about me, by the way. It's not about me at all. But it is about the message on mental health awareness and the number of students I've spoken to. If the people who are listening to this were with me on those mornings, and could hear what the kids tell me, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, sometimes younger, about the journey they're on, the struggles they have, the shame they feel, or the shame their parents feel, we would be doing more on this topic, and we need to. And I just want to give a brief shout-out to Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu has been out with me a couple of times. His budget address was about a third of it was on mental health. And I give him credit for that. The Attorney General of the state, Gordon McDonnell, has been extraordinary. The Chief Justice, Tom, of our state, Bob Lynn, has been with me to two high schools. Annie Custer has come with me. This topic, its time has come, and we need to start dealing with it differently.
And, of course, one of the ways I talk about that from an employer's perspective, in the same way, a manager-employee relationship, if someone, the employee, came into the manager and said, I need meniscus surgery, I got to be out 2 weeks, that would be a very comfortable conversation. If that same employee came in and said, I'm having a mental health issue, either personally or home, I need some time off, it's a much less comfortable conversation. So until we can talk about meniscus surgery in the same breath of mental health, I know that journey continues. So with that, Mike Milligan, why don't you tell us about your background and how you got involved with this?
Well, thanks for having me, Tom. My background is 32 years in law enforcement in Merrimack, and I've been teaching as an adjunct professor in colleges, and I've taught a lot in high schools. For the last 15 to 20 years, for the last eight years, I've been one of the liquor commissioners in New Hampshire, and I've had the ability to work with governors, and I'm glad Judge Broderick mentioned Governor Sununu. He's encouraged his agencies and his leaders to embrace this issue, to talk about it. I think the thing that I can bring to the table for this conversation is how it affects the workplace and how we can react in a better way through its effect in the workplace. When I started as a police officer many years ago, almost 40 years ago now, I was a baby when I started. When I started, mental health was something you didn't discuss, you didn't talk about. You only called the authorities or a hospital facility when it became acute, when it was just something you couldn't hide anymore. And then law enforcement would get involved, and there was nothing we could do. We could fill out an IEH form, get some folks some emergency hospitalization, and a lot of that was just, you know, warehousing somebody. And I think now with all the efforts that we have going on in New Hampshire and the opioid crisis, which I think is part and parcel, stems from mental health weaknesses that folks have, I think we're on the right track. And, you know, people like the judge who have a name and a position that can advocate for this really, really give us a head start.
You know, it's interesting, John, you know, Mike mentioned law enforcement. And when you and I presented to the police association, and Mike, this may or may not surprise you, but one of the things we learned is they needed a simple rack card that had the resources, because often they would go to a, you know, a home situation, domestic violence or something, and then as they're leaving, the people involved said, "I just need who do I call?" So we actually worked. It took actually several months to do it right, to get a rack card that had all of the contact information. So it's interesting that you're right. Law enforcement is right in the thick of this. So thanks for saying that. So, Mike, let's stay with the employer. So I know, like, we have, because of John, we have the change direction cards and the React cards all over our campus. And I have taken more or less an organic approach, which is through informal meetings I have with managers. I talk about this whole mental health program and so forth. And John actually is going to speak at our all employees meeting, you know, later in September. And more and more, I know I've told this story before, but like I had a situation, a new employee was hired and right away was tardy and was literally sleeping at staff meetings. And the manager, having been sensitized to changedirection.org, found out that the mom was experiencing some issues with her child at home related to, you know, mental health. And I really think without the sensitivity of the changedirection.org program, that employee, I mean, candidly, probably would have been terminated, but instead the manager had a more sensitivity, you know, to the situation. So tell us from an employer's perspective. I know John has these statistics, but literally multi-millions are wasted every year because we're not really hitting this issue right on. So tell us about what are some of the things the employer can do.
Well, some of the things the employer can do is just recognize that your employees are all people that have human frailties, that have issues that may not be their own, but they may be their family's own, or they may be the issue of a friend. It's very stark to me a few years ago when going around my agency and just talking to folks and getting to know them, you found out that there were some people with some issues that had a fear about coming forward. They had a fear, as you said, Tom, about losing their job. And I think what you need to do is recognize if you have a unit of employees, let me give you an example, 10 people working in a finance unit. If one person has a mental health issue, that mental health issue may not be their own, but it may be a child who's contemplating suicide, or it may be an opioid addiction. That person is having a difficult time at home, and it comes to work, and that problem comes with them. As an extension of that, their coworkers are grieving with them, not able to accept what's going on, and at some point it begins to harm the unit. And as a businessman, you can look at that at just dollars and cents, the lack of productivity and the drag on the rest of the system. Now, if you can support that person, you can just let them know that there are things that we can do to help them, that they just need to engage us and have the faith in us. It takes a while, but you have to make sure that your employees can get a faith in you that you mean what you say and say what you mean, and it will start to roll. And I found it starts to roll downhill. And with the support from the boss in the corner office and all the policies, I think it's making, and as we know in state government, we're not as fluid as private agencies that are able to go out and make adjustments in personnel and to hire folks. It takes a long time. So when there's a drag on our systems, it's a problem. But you got to walk the walk. You've got to make them know. My employees know that if they can't get what they need out of HR, they can knock on my door.
That's awesome. Great explanation. Justice Broderick, remember when we spoke? I do actually run Delta Dental, but we actually, when we were at the Nashua Chamber event, and this was the topic, how employers need to get comfortable with this. And of course, there are concerns because ultimately, some of the questions that come up, well, if the employee reveals there's a mental health issue and then later for totally unrelated reasons, the person's terminated and those concerns, oh my God, it was because of the mental health revelation. So, I mean, we talked about that, but in the final analysis, it is just being comfortable talking about it because it does obviously disrupt the team if someone is distracted because they're worried about their spouse or child at home that's contemplating suicide. So, Justice Breyer.
Well, sometimes businesses lose upwards of $200 billion, with a B, dollars a year through mental illness and substance misuse. And when I heard that, I thought, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because you spend a lot of money training employees who then change jobs because of their mental health problems, or they have a high absentee rate. You realize in the United States, Tom, more people are absent from work because of mental health issues than physical health issues. And thirdly, there's a category called presenteeism. Some economists are supposed to come up with that. So that means you're at work, you're present at work, but effectively for 2.5 days that you're there, you're really not working because you're distracted. And I want to say what Mike is talking about is so right. If the environment is user-friendly, if people don't feel afraid, they're not going to lose their job, they're not going to lose their friends, they will be inclined to speak up. I think all employees and businesses need to be informed about what mental illness is and what it's not, and how to engage people who are your fellow employees and show support. One of the things I've realized, I'm like the scout that's been over the next hill. So I've talked to the future workforce of New Hampshire in high schools around the state. And I know from my granular experience in those gyms and auditoriums and all the private discussions I've had, there were kids out there who are great kids, smart kids, but they're suffering. And a lot of them, I'd say 2/3 are getting help, 1/3 are not. And they're going to come and work for your business, and so we better be attentive to it. Just very briefly, Tom, I'll give your listeners some stats, which always shock me when I say them.
But let's do this. Let's take a break, and we'll get right to the stats right after commercial break. So I'll return with John and Mike after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with John Broderick and Mike Milligan this weekend of May 4th and 5th, and we're talking about mental health awareness. And John was starting to describe the statistics in terms of lost productivity, including something that a term that we now see a lot, presenteeism, where someone's at work but is so totally distracted, worrying about something going on at home, that she or he, is not nearly as productive. And I think the other point you just made is there are also a number of people in high school that soon enough will be your employees, and so we really need to address that. And there's a lot of stellar, and John, I know you know this because you're out there, there's a lot of stellar students and stellar athletes that are quietly suffering, and it's great that when you go out there, you're able to sort of, get them to talk to you. So let's build on this whole thing, what you're doing, and then we'll get back into the employer.
Yeah, it's important, Tom, that we finally, after centuries here, talk about mental illness like it's okay. And nobody who has it asks for it. Nobody who has it deserves it. So it's not their fault, but we stigmatize it. And just a couple of stats. Half of all mental illness in the United States begins by age 14. 2/3 by age 23. Last year in the United States, we lost more people by suicide, over 45,000, than in every car accident across the nation. Every day, Tom, including this day in May, 20 veterans took their own life. We lose 20 veterans a day to suicide in the United States. And one statistic, Tom, I learned recently, which doesn't surprise me now that I reflect on it, but first responders in our country often have a higher rate of mental illness than the rest of us, because they see and do things the rest of us don't see and do. And among police officers in the United States, last year and for several years before that, more police officers in America died by suicide than homicide. And we don't talk about that much. We tend to wall off unpleasant stats when it comes to mental illness. Most of this stuff, Tom, is fixable, treatable, and we act like it's hopeless. It's not hopeless, but it takes leadership. It takes leadership like Mike and you, Tom, here at Delta, to say, I get this, and we're going to start talking about it and deal with it. If we don't change the conversation, we won't change the results. That much I know.
Well put. And it's like you say, you know, like you need to be able to talk about meniscus surgery in the same breath as mental health, or as we were talking about offline, and if your foot is sore, you don't hide that. But with mental health, we tend to try to, you know, hide that. And as you said, it's, you know, it's treatable, you know, and we just really need to get it out front. Let's talk a little bit about the Youth Summit that just occurred on April 5th and 6th, and you and I got to participate and see some tremendous youth talking about this and other related issues. And I know it's part of the Dartmouth Hitchcock program that really we've been putting on conferences now for a couple of years, but specifically, you know, the 99 Faces of Mental Illness exhibit from April through September. But what was your assessment of the Youth Summit? And we'll go from there.
Youth Summit, Tom, was extraordinary. We had students from 63 public high schools. We had four kids from 63 of those schools, and a teacher or counselor that joined them. The students, high school students, determined what issues they wanted to talk about well in advance. They ran the discussions. We had experts, but they were there to keep the ball moving and answer questions, not to tell kids what they should be thinking. At the end of that day, the students summarized, put together their recommendations, and the next day they presented them to a group of adults. And I'll tell you something, this generation of young people in the United States, I love these kids. They're smart, they're less judgmental, and their recommendations were valuable. And so what we're trying to do now in follow-up is to put together a toolkit, so-called, that we will hopefully in the fall be able to get out to schools so they can do with those toolkits on these topics what they want. One thing I just want to say, Tom, because it shocked me, and it'll shock your listeners. The students at the end of the day voted on the topics that were most relevant and important to them. The one that got the biggest slice of that pie was self-harm, suicide, and depression. You can't look at that and think, we don't have a problem here, people. We do have a challenge, and these kids are telling us. We just need to start listening to them and responding to it.
And it's really good to hear that, you know, there's actionable items coming out of the conference, because I know, you know, both Dartmouth Hitchcock and Delta Dental and other sponsors put a great deal of time and financial resources and getting the great speakers and organizing and putting on these conferences take a lot of work. And then you come out so psyched and you want to make sure that they're actionable items. So it's great to see
I
that.
I also want your listeners to know this. The very first person I asked before we had really a concept paper was Delta Dental and Tom Raphael. I said, you willing to help us? Will you be a sponsor? And Tom said, of course. But that's how you always are here. You've been very valuable to me on this front. You really have.
Well, thank you, John. And, you know, Mike, John, you don't know this, but John also holds the record when changedirection.org, when he was sort of starting the, for lack of a better term, the franchise in northern New England. Like, so he got money out of me in like 10 seconds, beat the, because it's such a compelling topic. Above the neck health is what I do, right? Right. Got to connect the body to the head. And anyway, so he broke the record of Dr. Silvio Dupuy. Let's get back to the ripple effect on you were starting to talk about it, but it might be good to reinforce it, but the effect of on coworkers in terms of the team dynamics. I mean, if someone is kind of silently suffering and you can't figure out why your teammate at work, you know, isn't pulling his or her weight, how affects and what we can do as employers to help correct that.
Well, I think that the team just needs to know it's okay for somebody not to be okay. it's okay to talk to the employer and to tell them about something. It's all a matter of trust. It doesn't happen overnight. And to say in my agency it's where it should be, no, it isn't, because people are people. They have to know that they can approach their friend and urge their friends and their colleagues to seek the help and to get it, and that they will be supported. I think in the folks that I've dealt with in the last several years on my state level, it's always that they're shocked when something happens to them. That's kind of the common denominator. A lot of times people don't see it. I know in my own life, in issues of mental health I've dealt with on two separate occasions, I never saw either one of them coming. And I thought I was dialed in. I thought I knew all there was to know about the signs, even though I'm not a clinician, but I have a master's degree in psychology. I thought that I had an idea. I did not. And I think that's a commonality amongst people. And I think people naturally are empathetic. I agree with the judge. We're raising, they call the greatest generation the one that fought in World War II. And I think that's true. But we're raising a generation of kids that are so much more knowledgeable and tuned in. The judge spoke one night at the community college here in Concord, and I'm an adjunct professor there. And I listened to the judge a few minutes, and then I had to go to a meeting. And some of my students the next week talked about what he had to say. And they were receptive, and they were saying how they wanted to learn more, and they want to learn more about how they can help their friends. And I think that's so important. It's organic. It's just a little bit at a time. We don't need a grandiose program. We need people that want to help other people.
I love that. Organic. So these React cards, the changedirection.org cards, which show the five signs of mental health awareness, and then the React cards, which basically, you know, tell you what to do about it. If you want those cards, just I'll give you the easiest number. Just call me directly, 223-1300, and with Judge Broderick, we'll make sure to get those out. How many cards, how many of those awareness cards do you think, John, you've gotten out to schools and employers?
I think by now, Tom, I keep going through boxes, well over 400,000, and we pass them out. We don't drop them from an airplane. So people have taken them. I almost can't keep up with the demand on them, but which is a good problem to have.
And then the resource cards that we've given to police officers all across the state, that again, was... Again, this demonstrates how it was organic. I mean, something as simple as I need to be able to give out a card to, when we finish up a call to a family that was in crisis. I mean, that card, that resource card, has been awesome. So, Justice Broderick, I'll give you the final word. You're my hero on this topic. And when it's always so moving for me to hear that even though you were the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and so there's only a handful of people in the world that can say that they have ever achieved such a compelling professional designation, for you to say that the mental health awareness is the most important thing you do always brings a warm feeling to my heart. So I'll give you the last word.
First of all, I'm delighted that Mike and I are on. It's appropriate we're on in May, Tom. It's National Mental Health Awareness Month, so it couldn't be at a better time.
Awesome.
And I just want people to know that this is not a hopeless problem. And as Mike so aptly put it, we don't need world peace. We just need to start a different, organic discussion, one person at a time. And I believe if we do that, with some public officials speaking out, as the governor has, as the attorney general has, it'll start to get some traction. And eventually, when we're comfortable, change will happen. And I'm just saying, I see it now, and it needs to happen.
So let's continue the movement. So those of you that... our employers and lead positions, if you want to know more, just contact me directly and I can chat with you and connect you with Judge Broderick or Mike. Probably every school has seen the judge out there, but in my role as the chair for Business and Education Coalition, if you want to know more how we can get the judge out to your school, you can also contact me. Mike and John, thank you for all you're doing. It's a real mitzvah for the world. I appreciate it.
John, thank you.
Thank you. So again, my phone number is 223-1300 if there's any resource material that I've referenced that you'd like to get your hands on, and I'll coordinate that for you.